tonight. It's July 13th. I thought it was June for some reason. July 13th, 2020. Here live on the YouTube channel, Ben the Baptist. This is Benjamin Naim here with everyone. Thank you for tuning in to episode 43 of the show. It's going to be a special live stream tonight with my friend Matt Powell joining me from his YouTube channel, Matt Powell Official. We'll be plugging that over the course of the live stream so you can check out some of his content. He's got some sermons, documentaries, and other things there on the channel. He does a lot of great work for the Lord, and someone I think that has become one of the leading voices in the sense of attacking atheism, attacking evolution, from someone who's actually saved, understands the gospel, who's putting out some content against these people, putting out some content that's designed to debunk a lot of their arguments and turn people to the Bible, turn people to God. Matt Powell has done a lot of great work in this area. And I've known him for a while. I wanted to bring him on tonight because there's some upcoming projects that he's going to be a part of that we'll be talking about and so much more. It's always fun to get a chance to do this with him. Matt Powell, thanks for coming on. I appreciate you taking the time. I know you're probably very busy, but thank you for returning here to the podcast. I always look forward to getting this opportunity to hang out with you here on this live stream.
Hey, no problem, Brother Ben. It's good to see you and be here. It has been a little while since we've done a live stream together, so I'm definitely looking forward to this one. But yeah, definitely an interesting topic is the atheists and their community and the stuff that they believe. And right now they're really pushing on all sorts of websites that don't even pertain to atheism. They push their ideas and their propaganda on those websites, and they're pushing them towards children and trying to recruit children over to believing that there is no God and stuff like that. So definitely looking forward to the discussion because it's something that I'm very passionate about. And it's definitely cool to just dive in and look at what they believe and look at how inconsistent it is, how illogical it is, and how the Bible just comes back right time and time again about these people who claim to be so logical.
Well, apparently you have a reputation, and I didn't know this, but you know, I had a guy who questioned my friendship with you because apparently there's some articles written about you and you have people who've been responding to some of the claims you've made on your YouTube channel and, of course, your association with Pastor Anderson and Faithful Word Baptist Church. And it's funny because the perception that people get when they read about you is that you're this horrible person, that you're mean, or that you're this monster, when you're a really nice guy, you're very polite, you're a gentleman, and even when you're engaging with people who have a completely different ideology and are basically 180 degrees contradicting everything that you believe, you still are able to have a professional dialogue with them. You don't resort to ad hominem attacks and things of that nature. But I guess to start off here, and this wasn't something I planned on talking about, but I just think it's interesting, the perception that people can ascertain about others based only on the media, based only on what's been written about them from people who don't even know who they are, is really interesting to me. And you're exhibit A of that in the sense that there are a lot of people who hate you, who despise you because of whatever perspective you have, your view on perhaps the Sodomites or whatever, and yet their perspective, their point of view on who you are as a person is the complete opposite of what you of who you actually are. And that's coming from somebody who knows you. I just find it to be fascinating.
Yeah, it is pretty amazing. In the sense that like they will say like he's this really, really hateful person.
Right.
But I always tell people that Christianity is about love and you know, if you love the flowers, you hate the weeds, and there's a comparison that the Bible makes. And if you use the word hate at all towards anything, it just seems like people just automatically conclude that you're a hate monger in 2020. But you know, I see people use that word all the time. I use that word. The Bible uses that word. But whenever people read about me, they will often read articles where they'll say like, he's lying. He's making up stuff about evolutionary theory that evolution doesn't really teach. And of course, I've got all the sources. And every time I quote evolutionary teachings and evolutionary scientists, I quote them word for word so that they can't say, well, you're taking them out of context. So whenever they go against me and say that I'm making up these crazy ideas, like about the octopuses and squids that came from outer space, according to the evolutionists, you know, they're actually mocking their own scientists. That's not something I made up. That's something I'm just simply quoting. And so they'll say, well, he's dishonest. He's, and one atheist, this godless engineer guy, goes, well, you know, he's just trying to make it look ridiculous when it isn't. And really all I'm doing is just quoting the scientists. I mean, I can't help that some people believe silly things. You know, they believe there was nothing at the beginning. And so they believe that magically out of nothing, something came without a designer. You know, I can't help that they believe in magic. You know, I can't help that they believe silly ideas. Hmm. And they'll always accuse Christians of believing in magic. But I always ask them, what's more magical? Or what's magical in general? Somebody creating the universe and the laws of nature, giving the laws. If you have to have a law, you have to have a lawgiver, right? Or the laws of nature and matter and energy creating itself from nothing, which we know can't possibly happen. That's magical. So whenever they say that Christians believe in magic, number one, the Bible says the Lord hates sorcery. And then number two, the world creating itself from nothing is magical by definition. And so I hate it when they try and fling their own poo onto me. You know, whenever I'm in discussions, I always say, don't, they always use the fallacy of false equivalence.
Yeah.
You know, and
yeah, and I would challenge anybody, any naysayer out there who believes the hype about who Matt Powell is as a person, go watch some of his discussions, go watch the debates that he has with atheists, and what you'll notice is that he sticks to the facts, and he completely destroys them with facts and with logic, because the Bible is logical. The truth of the Word of God is logical. It's the atheists who have to bend those rules in order to try and explain what their worldview is, because it's inherently, frankly, stupid. It's foolish. That's why the Bible says, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. And Matt, you're very patient in the sense that you go in there and you reason out of not just common sense and logic, but also the scriptures. You're not afraid of using the Bible to defend your point. And what I call good apologetics, not the crap from these unsaved, you know, weirdos out there, but I mean like actual good logical apologetic. And to me, again, it's just fascinating how when the other side can't come up with any coherent argument to try and debunk what you're saying, they just attack the personality. They just attack who you are. They just throw out the ad hominems because they know inherently that what they believe, their worldview, cannot withstand the test of a structured discussion. And so that's why, well, you know what? Matt Powell is a monster. Matt Powell is a hate mongerer. Matt Powell just hates everybody and hates everything. Just because you're honest about what the Bible clearly states in Leviticus chapter 20, in Psalm chapter 139, in Romans chapter 1, and elsewhere, 2 Peter chapter 2, the book of Jude, we can go on and on. That's not what this podcast is about, but that's a totally separate issue. It's not like your life revolves around what you believe about the sodomites, is it, Matt? No, your life does not revolve around that, because guess what? That's like, what, 2% of the content that we put out?
If that.
Maybe 1%?
I mean, on YouTube, we can't even put any content out about that. So, I mean, for YouTube, for me, now it's 0%.
Exactly.
But, I mean, anybody that shows up to see me preach in person, I would, you know, I'll definitely cover that topic for sure. But YouTube will definitely censor us. But what I find interesting is that, you know, I can't help that the Bible says certain things. And whether I agree with them or not, doesn't matter. It's what God said. And if God created the world, then he owns it, which means he makes the rules. And so, you know, I always say that, you know, he's the one who created the universe. So, you know, we can't decide to make our own rules. The Bible says there's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And so, you know, evolution is a religion of death. Atheism is a religion of killing people. They always will come to me with these dumb objections to Christianity. They'll say, like, well, you know, we've got the holy wars and all these people died and it's so terrible because of religion. And they fail to face the fact that over 110 million people have died under atheistic communism, under people like Hitler and other people that were communistic, atheistic leaders. 110 million deaths. That's at least 10 times more than religion ever thought of doing any killing. So every time they make a claim against Christians, they're failing because they actually believe the same thing themselves, but to a worse extent. Not that Christianity has anything wrong with it, but let me give you an example. We were out interviewing some atheists recently, and I asked, I said, hey, why can't you believe the Bible? And the guy goes, well, I can't believe the Bible because your God made an animal talk. And so therefore, you know, since your God made this animal speak, that's just too out there for me. And I said, well, aren't we all animals according to your theory? Yet there's 7.8 billion of us, and yet we all speak. So I said, look, man, you believe in 7.8 billion talking animals, and the Bible only mentions two. And so, and a lot of times they'll say, well, you know, that didn't answer the question. Like, of course, maybe we're animals or whatever, but it doesn't answer the question, how could a donkey speak? Well, look, if God created the world from nothing, it's not rocket science to think that he could make something that he designed speak. It's not rocket science. And so, you know, they, you know, and I can't help that they believe stupid things. And I always tell this to Christians who try to defend them, because they'll say, well, you need to give them a chance and tell people that they really do believe in science. They really do believe in logic. But no, they don't. I can't help that certain people think that there was no prime mover at the beginning, that there was no uncaused cause. They think that nothing created everything. You know, if I was to say that nothing caused an explosion, you know, if I said something caused something over here in my bedroom to nothing caused something over here in my bedroom to explode, people would say, let's change the YouTube channel. This guy's insane. But that's what evolution teaches. That's what the atheistic perspective of it is. And no matter how many times they accuse me of strawmanning it, I'll just continue to quote word for word the sources, and they can take it up with the scientists instead of with me.
Yeah, actually, I'm going to play a sermon clip from a message you preached at Sure Foundation Baptist Church a little bit later on in the stream. But before we get to that, I actually want to say hi to the people in the chat room. We got Valid Core in there, Outlaw Otaku, Pillar and Ground, Brother Peter James. It's good to see him in there, the moderator who I can always trust to use that ban hammer to get rid of any troll that tries to disrupt the chat. He'll take care of them in a split second. 1611 Mirror KJB is in there. IFB Javier Ramos, Nick Connolly, another good friend of mine, Bro J, Stu, KJV, and some others are listening live in the chat room. So thanks everybody for tuning in live. I really appreciate it. The podcast airs Mondays at 8 p.m. Central and 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Although I do miss some weeks, stay tuned to facebook.com/BenTheBaptistKJV for updates on the program. Well, Matt, let's start off the actual planned topics that I sent you. I want to ask about the upcoming TV show that you have with Framing the World. If there's anything at all you can share about that, I do know that it's going to be pertaining to these topics that you are obviously very well versed in with respect to creation, evolution, things of that nature. You have a lot of experience in this field. You've been battling atheism for years now, and it appears you're going to have an outlet for you to regularly share some of the things you've learned over the years with others so that they then can be equipped to perhaps join you in this battle. And I'll tell you personally, Matt, I've learned a lot over the last several years, and especially recently, this is a subject that I have really just tried to dive headfirst into and get more well-versed in, because I think it's an important battle and something that we shouldn't overlook. But talk a little about that Framing the World show that you will be hosting pretty soon.
For sure. Well, the title of the show is actually Answers in Creation. So it's not Answers in Genesis, but just Answers in Creation. And no affiliation with them, although it might sound a little similar. But a lot of the stuff that we're going to be covering is just like the flawed. We might do an episode on dinosaurs, an episode. The first episode, just as a heads up for everybody, is just going to be like the fundamentals of atheism versus Christianity. And in that one episode, you know, it'll be crystal clear. In every episode, it'll be crystal clear that atheists are living in a fantasy land and Christians are living in reality. And the Bible is a book that was written by people. And, you know, atheists will often say they repeat the same, you know, dumb arguments that we hear all the time whenever you actually bring forth logical and mathematical equations to them. They'll always make these blanket statements like, well, a bunch of goat herders wrote your book. Well, here's the thing. Why are you saying that all goat herders are bad? Number one. And then number two, Paul wasn't a goat herder. He was a scholar. And he wrote over half the New Testament. So whenever they make blanket statements like that, it just goes to show they haven't actually studied what they're talking about. And the Bible says that a foolish man speaketh of a matter before he heareth of the whole matter. So it just goes to show that professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and they'll do foolish things. And that's what we can expect from them. And so in that show, we'll offer the atheists a chance to call in. And so if they want to call in at the very end and you know, ask questions or try to have a little discussion with me, they can feel free to do so at their own risk. And I'll just leave it at that. And I don't say that to sound, you know, arrogant in any way. It's just that when the truth fears no investigation, folks. And, you know, when you know that you have the truth and the facts are on your side, I mean, Darwin literally said, and I quote, and this is in his book, Life and Letters. He said, "Often a cold shudder has run through me, and I have asked myself whether I have devoted myself to a fantasy." So Darwin literally was scared that he was living in a fantasy. And so science is based on facts, not fantasy. And so if Darwin actually believed what he was saying and believed in evolution, the theory that he supposedly founded that everybody has the Darwin fish for, then why would he make such a statement? Well, the reason being is because he was unsure of his worldview at the foundation. He wasn't even sure if evolution was true or not. Yet scientists are saying Darwin is, you know, he's one of the greatest scientists of all time, and he was the man who came up with all these great theories and the man that we should really trust. And so you could trust Darwin if you want. You could trust somebody that was afraid that he was living in fantasy land, like he admitted. Or you could trust somebody like Jesus, who spoke in absolutes and said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life." Jesus didn't say, "Oh man, I wonder if this is a fantasy." He said it's the real thing, folks. And so Christianity is the real thing. And, you know, I'm sick and tired of people saying that, you know, we should have the Darwin fish eating the Jesus fish. Yet Darwin didn't even know if his fantasy was if his world was a fantasy or not. And how can you base truth? How could you base reality off of what you suspect could be a fantasy?
The left wants to tear down statues right now. Fine. They're idols anyway. However, what I find interesting is they don't seem to care about the Charles Darwin statues. I haven't heard about any Charles Darwin statues that have been defaced or that have been pulled down by these mobs of social justice warriors who pretend to care about black people when they actually don't care about black people. It's really interesting to me. I find that intriguing because it was Charles Darwin who used to believe in the idea that black people are an inferior race. He called them savages. There are quotes by Darwin that come from a credible source. He actually said these things, and he said extremely nasty things about black people. And yet, we're the ones who are branded as hate mongers. I actually think it's the evolutionist who has an extremely hateful worldview, a worldview that emanates from someone who literally believed certain races were inferior. Do you believe that, Brother Matt? Because last time I checked, our ideology says that we're all of one blood. And our Bible says that the house of God is a house of prayer for all people.
There's neither Jew nor Greek, male nor female, bond nor free. You're all one in
Christ
Jesus.
And it says the Bible also says avoid genealogies. Your DNA doesn't matter. Your ethnicity doesn't matter. Red, yellow, black, and white, we're all precious in his sight. But what does Darwin say? The opposite.
Yet they accuse the Bible of being a racist book. Yet they haven't even read the Bible.
No.
Yet they claim to know truth. They don't even know what truth is.
Matt, if I walked into a brain surgeon's office and I said, "Hey, let me critique you on how you do brain surgery," don't you think someone who has zero background in that field is going to laugh me out of the room?
Right.
Just checking.
Yeah, right on. So when they claim to know all this stuff about Christianity, when they haven't even read the Bible, you know, and they want to tell us how to act like Jesus. Look, Jesus spoke in absolutes, and Jesus, you know, was very clear. And, you know, I heard a preacher say one time, put the cookies on the bottom shelf so that everybody can reach them. And I like that because, you know, a great preacher is somebody that can simplify a complicated matter rather than complicating a simplified matter.
It's a good way to put
it.
And
that's why people like Aaron Rye and like Bill Nye and all these guys that really don't know science, they sound very complicated because they know how to use big words. But if you actually research their claims, if you actually look at the scientific evidence and the peer-reviewed papers that are out there, a lot of times they're just completely misrepresenting the findings. And that's, you know, it's impossible to defend evolution, honestly. You know, people say, oh, it's impossible to defend creationism, honestly. No, it's impossible to defend evolution, honestly, because you have to make up and you have to imagine.
Well, let me ask you straight up here, Matt. I hate to interrupt. I want to ask you straight up. Give people a cliff notes. Let's say there's an audience listening right now, totally unfamiliar on how to engage this topic. How would you formulate an argument that would claim evolution is unscientific? What makes evolution unscientific in your opinion?
Well, I would say the laws of science themselves. So let's go through this real quick. So you've got the first law of thermodynamics. Matter cannot be created or destroyed. It's known as the conservation of matter and energy. So if matter and energy cannot be created or destroyed, at some point, matter and energy came into existence. And so to say that matter and energy created itself is a violation of the first law of thermodynamics. So an atheistic worldview in that sense is impossible. Now, the second law of thermodynamics is something outside of matter would have had to bring matter into existence because there's no other logical possibility that it could be. Number two, the second law of thermodynamics, we could go through all the laws of thermodynamics and I could demonstrate that atheism violates every one of them and that they don't believe in science. And they claim to be scientific, free thinker. Well, here's the thing. The second law of thermodynamics states that everything in order tends towards disorder. And so, for example, in our genetics, every generation of children that are born, my son, for example, he has 1-2% less genetic information than me. And his son will have, if he lives that long, you know, if Jesus doesn't come back and get us out of this place, hopefully soon, you know, if he has kids, he is going to, those kids are going to have 1-2% less genetic information than he will. And so we are degrading as people. The sun is getting smaller. The moon is getting further away from the earth. The earth's rotation is slowing down. And so somebody wound things up perfectly. So the second law of thermodynamics states that ordered things go towards disorder. Well, how did we get order in the first place? And they'll say, well, you know, and I always bring forth the fact that a chance of a functional protein coming into existence by chance is 10 to the 164th power. That's an insane number. And yet they'll say, well, there's still a chance, Mr. Powell, there's still a chance that the world could come into being by chance, according to the second law of thermodynamics. And I always stop them right there and I say, wait a minute, Stephen Hawking, who you trust in as one of the leading scientists of the world, said, and I quote, he said, we are a mathematical impossibility. So a real easy way of debunking atheism right from the foundation using the laws of science is to get people to realize, number one, matter and energy can't create itself. Otherwise, you'd have to believe that it magically happened. And then number two, like the atheists believe, they believe in magic. It's obvious. And then number two, the second law of thermodynamics states that ordered things go towards disorder. Well, how did we get order in the first place? And how did something become possible if it was mathematically impossible? So the definition of impossible is a miracle. So atheists believe in miracles. Since we're a mathematical impossibility for life to come about by itself and for this universe to come about by itself, that means that they believe it came about by a miracle because it's impossible. And then the third law of thermodynamics is what's known as the law of biogenesis, which states very clearly that life only produces life. Life cannot come from non-life. And so atheists all believe that life started from non-life. And, you know, I was in a debate one time and the atheist said, well, I don't understand how you think a virgin could conceive. And I said, look, man, you think a rock conceived. You know, they have nothing. And so that the first three laws of thermodynamics are the death asshole for the atheists. They have no way out of those arguments. I don't care how they try to reword it. They cannot deny, they should. I would have more respect for them if they would just come out and say, I don't believe in science. You're right. I just hate God. If they said that, then I would be okay with them. But what they do is they say, well, free thinker. Well, here's the thing. Evolution is the only theory protected by law. So if you're not allowed to think outside of evolution, is that free thought? Free thought gives both sides. I can lay out all the facts about creation. I can lay out all the facts about evolution. And I can let you freely choose between the two. But they'll say, no, don't give creationism a chance. That's not free thought. That's indoctrination.
Oh, absolutely. And what's amazing about this is all we're trying to show these people is they have faith, too. It's not that they're relying on evidence, because there isn't any. Although they'll claim that there is. But they have faith in what Darwinism has taught them. They have faith in this theological almost concept of evolution. It is theological in a way, you know, it's a religion, and they've placed their faith in that just as sure as I've placed my faith on what the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1 concerning the origins of life. And yet I'm branded as some sort of retard because I reject evolutionary theory, which is preposterous. My biological ancestor isn't a fish. And the biological ancestor of an elephant isn't a pine cone. I'm not stupid for rejecting that. You're stupid for accepting that.
Right. Amen. Yeah, I agree with that wholeheartedly. It's funny, Aaron Ra was in a debate with Kent Hovind like 2 years ago. And Aaron Ra goes, well, pine trees and elephants are most definitely related. And because they're eukaryotes. That is such a poor argument based on the fact that just because something might have a similar characteristic doesn't mean that you can throw them in the same family. Otherwise, like you could say an ink pen and a squid are related because they both squirt ink. You know, you could say that birds and airplanes are related because they both have wings. You know, so his logic is ridiculous. It deserves no scientific credit. And anytime I hear of these feminist women coming to faith in atheism, through his work and through his satanic ministry there. And that's what it is. It is a ministry. He is dedicated to, you know, making atheists and going on these websites and pushing this nonsense to the world. And every time I hear these people, you know, they're always the most gross people that come into this stuff. It's like they knew nothing about Christianity before anyways. And so they're growing in numbers though. And what I find interesting is the fact that at the beginning of these videos of all these atheists, whether it's raging atheist, godless engineer, whoever, they'll always say, this is how they start their video, Ben. What is up, you heathens and demons?
Yeah.
Or like, hey, heathens, you know what that means? They're literally admitting that they're reaching out to the most gross, disgusting people on the planet when they're like, what's up, heathens and demons?
Right.
They're going towards the most disgusting audience that you can go towards. I mean, they're just admitting that they're not pleasant.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's so easy to make them look foolish by exposing that their worldview is a self-contradiction. There have been so many times in which they've tried so hard to plaster the Bible as an immoral book in some way because of components of God's law that they would disagree with or that they would view to be immoral. But what's amazing about that is they have no standard by which they can determine what is and is not moral. This is what amazes me, Matt. It's that you have these people who have zero external reference beyond humanity to determine right and wrong. And so what they'll do is they'll give you their subjective opinion and treat it as if it's an objective fact, and then turn around and say Christians are prideful.
Right. Right. Yeah, you're right. Why accusest thou, I don't know, that could apply, that you know, somebody accuses you of having a mote in your eye when you have a beam in your own eye.
Yes,
and that's what
it absolutely does apply.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that for sure. And here's the thing, like, they always will make up blanket statements. And I can tell within about 10 seconds of talking to an atheist who they've been listening to, whether it's Richard Dawkins, Aaron Ra. And sometimes I'll ask them, like, hey, how long have you been listening to Aaron Ra for? You know, because I hear them say the exact words the exact way. You know, I understand that some people make good arguments, but we shouldn't be copycatting each other. We can copycat each other's arguments all day long. I do that all the time. 50% of my arguments are copied from other creationists. But when they copy that personality, right. When they copy that personality, I can just tell that they are not thinking for themselves. And while they claim to be free thinkers and those who have free thought and we can really think on our own two feet, imagine if I went out on the street like these atheists do and held up a sign that said, I'm a free thinker, folks. That just goes to show that I'm uncertain that people are actually taking me as a free thinker. I just have to go out and prove myself and prove that I can have free thought. And, you know, that just shows that they're insecure. It's not something some alpha male would ever do. Imagine that, Ben. Imagine going out on the street and being like, man, I'm a free thinker, everybody. Look at me. It just goes to show, like, they are not alpha types. A lot of them are just cowardly keyboard warriors, and I don't think we should let them get away with it.
No, a lot of them definitely resemble those who probably their diet consists exclusively of soy. Moving on from that, though, Matt, are there any good resources you would recommend to people who want to be more well-versed? If there's someone listening to this right now that says, you know what? I want to be intelligent. I don't want to be an idiot. There are folks out there who would teach that the Bible says that we should be foolish or stupid. That's retarded, okay? It says to gain wisdom. If you've ever read the book of Proverbs one time, you would know that. And so what do you think people should do if they're looking to gain more wisdom in this area? Any resources you could recommend for debunking evolution and things like that?
Yeah, I would say there's two very, very good resources out there. The first one, and I am a fan of his all the way. His name is Dr. Grady McMurtry, and we actually had him out here in
very
Phoenix.
Smart
he
guy.
Did an interview with us. Oh my goodness, he has a wealth of scientific knowledge, and it was really an honor being able to just learn from him and just kind of understand his arguments, because he's done a few debates as well, and very, very skilled. And so he's one, Dr. Grady McMurtry from Creation Worldview Ministries. Great guy. He's based in Orlando, Florida. Love his work. And then there's another group called Standing for Truth is their YouTube channel name. And they consist of several different scientists and authors of books, and some within our movement, actually. And they are great. They are an absolutely phenomenal group. Guzman 1611, he's also been getting very good. In fact, I watched him debate the Godless Engineer recently, and he did a fine job demonstrating Noah's flood. And so those are great sources out there. Dr. Kent Hovind is also a really wonderful source. He's on top of it. Great material. So those would be the four number one channels that I would recommend: Dr. Kent Hovind Official, Guzman 1611, Creation Worldview Ministries, as well as Standing for Truth.
And the good part about it is those guys are all not horrible heretics. In fact, they're all saved.
Right. Right.
So you get the perspective of saved Christians. I believe Dr. Kent Hovind is saved. So you've got the perspective of saved Christians talking about this issue from a biblical standpoint as well, and a standpoint of intellect, especially Grady McMurtry, who is Pastor McMurtry's father. Is that right? Or did I get that totally wrong?
No, he's actually not related to Pastor McMurtry, but a lot of people thought he was.
Okay, I thought it was his dad for some reason. Never mind.
That's funny.
But they share the same last name, and you know what? They share the same father in heaven. Okay,
amen.
So there you go. They're brethren in that sense.
Yeah.
It's live radio, folks. When you make mistakes like that, you can't just stop the recording and delete it. So you guys get to experience it live just like everyone else. But anyway, let's move on. I want to talk about your sermon at the Creation Weekend over at Sure Foundation Baptist Church. Before we get your comments, let me play this clip. You uploaded it to your YouTube channel, The Truth About Charles Darwin. This was from your sermon, right?
Correct.
Okay, so I want to play
this.
That
was my second sermon, but yeah.
It's about 2 minutes and 23 seconds here. You won't be able to hear anything, Brother Matt, but at the end of this clip, I want to get your thoughts on the entire weekend, how it went for you, what it was like to preach at the church. So let's play this now for the audience so they can get a taste of what it's like to hear Matt Powell ripping some face behind the pulpit. As calm and reserved as he is in interviews, folks, when it's time to preach, he will let it rip.
Amen.
Now, Charles Darwin, the founder of their religion, said, and I quote, he said, "Often a cold shudder has run through me, and I have asked myself whether I have devoted myself to a fantasy." Now, if somebody's going to found this science and then say, "Oh, I'm worried I might have come up with a fantasy," do you think he really believes what he's even saying to begin with? "Oh, I'm kind of worried that this might be a fantasy." You know what? Jesus never did that. He said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life."
Amen.
He spoke with firmness, and he didn't go, "Oh, maybe this is a fantasy." No, he said, "It's the real thing."
Amen.
Christianity is the real thing, folks.
Right.
And I'm sick and tired of people saying, "Well, we need to believe they have the Darwin fish eating the Jesus fish," yet Darwin didn't even know if his world was a fantasy or not.
Yeah.
How can you base truth off of what you think could be a fantasy?
Yeah.
Why would you even, anybody that has his little fish on the back of their car, that person might as well just tell me, "I can't think for myself. Darwin had to do it for me."
Now, before we push that big button in the control booth, before we vault up to that video
this
viewer
guy,
in the sky and on
Bill
the table,
Nye, the Marxist
before
guy.
Before we stop with this long introduction to the number one great discovery in science so far, I just want to point out that this one is controversial. This one gets people's hackles a-hacking. No matter how you feel about it, bear in mind that our next number one discoverer came across some things in nature that surprised him, and he tried to explain what he saw. It's not the story of a guy just trying to cause trouble. It's the story of the guy who made what you and I consider the number one discovery in science so far.
For those of you listening on the podcast, it says Bill Nye's number one discoverer is Charles Darwin, the man who was afraid he was living a fantasy. That's sort of the atheistic attitude, which is to say, we don't know anything is true. I could be a brain in a vat right now, John 8:32, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Christianity says you can know the truth, that there is an objective morality, and also an objective truth, by the way, an objective reality. And a lot of the atheists out there are denying that reality. There does come a point, though, Matt, where I think you recognize you're dealing with a reality denier, and there really isn't that much more you could do. One reason why I do think, though, that your discussions with these people are profitable all in all is for the audience. I don't think you're going to turn Aaron Raw into a Christian anytime soon. However, there might be someone who's undecided listening to you debate him, listening to you destroy, wipe the floor with these people, and then say, "You know what? Maybe Matt Powell isn't as crazy as I thought. Maybe those articles I read about him online aren't actually the truth, but rather, let me check out his YouTube channel for myself and see what he's all about." And then you never know, he might end up getting saved as a result. I know that there was someone who watched your documentary, Evolution versus Creation, and got saved, right? Didn't they call you or call somebody and give their testimony? I don't know the full story on that, but somebody got saved watching it.
His name was Matt. He came to the conference, the missions conference, and he gave his testimony.
Okay, I think I remember that. Yeah, I do remember him giving his testimony and talking about how he got saved courtesy of one of your documentaries. You put out several. And here's another one that I guess makes you look like a horrible hate mongerer, Eternal or Not, where you talk about how God loves the world, how God loves people, how he made salvation free and easy. All you have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the free gift of salvation. There isn't a more loving message than that. And you dedicated that documentary to clearing up the confusion on the gospel, helping people understand that it is eternal, that once you're saved, you're always saved, and you can never lose it. So for those of you who maybe are unfamiliar with his work, make sure you check out Eternal or Not by Matt Powell. You preached that sermon there at Sure Foundation Baptist Church with Pastor Aaron Thompson, and you did a good job. You preached a couple of sermons, actually. What was it like to participate in the creation weekend there? They gave away free dinosaurs. That must have been fun. It's a really cool idea. What was it like being part of it?
Oh, it was a tremendous blessing. Pastor Aaron Thompson is a great man of God. And in fact, him and myself and also his son, Remy Thompson, we all preached that weekend for the documentary. And it was great. It was just a great time of fellowship. And they preached some very good sermons. And one of my favorite lines in his sermon was when he said, this guy, Sam Harris, said, if I could get rid of, and Sam Harris is one of the top five atheists of the world. He said, if I could get rid of rape or religion, I would not cease to get rid of religion. And so Pastor Aaron Thompson had a great rebuttal to that. I don't know if you could really consider it a rebuttal. He just point blank said, don't ever come to my church if you believe this. And it was so powerful. And I loved it. I thought it was great. That's definitely going in the documentary. I mean, the way he said that was with power. And the Bible says that we should speak with power. And for whatever reason, Christians have this idea that a Christian apologist should be somebody that wears the skinny jeans and, the low-cut shirt. And they should be the guy that just sounds really cool to everybody. But here's the thing, people that defend the faith, we should all be very bold. And the Bible says that we're to speak with boldness the words of life. And so we need to speak boldly and proclaim the truth. The Bible says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. So it's the power of God. It's powerful.
Absolutely. Titus chapter 2, just to throw this into the mix, the very last verse says, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. It's a common theme in Scripture where the men of God are exhorted to speak the word with boldness. And that's what's missing in today's Christianity. Men who are willing to speak the word with boldness. Go to the highest hilltop they can find and proclaim the truth. What would be a modern application of that? Well, YouTube. This is the highest hilltop we can find with the most potential hearers out there in internet world, which is why I'm doing this live stream right now, because I want to turn many to righteousness, and having guests on helps aid in that process. Matt, let me ask you about this. Let's say that someone listening decides they want to try and dialogue with an atheist they know in their life. Could be a brother, a sister, an aunt, an uncle, maybe just a friend. What are some things that you think they should avoid doing when engaged in that discussion? What are some common mistakes that someone could make when engaging with an atheist?
That's a really good question.
And it looks like...
Are you still there?
Yeah, your video went out.
Sorry about that.
Go ahead.
Yeah, that's a really good question. I'm sorry about that. Somebody was calling me. I'm doing this on my phone. So, that's a very good question.
They ought to know
it
better.
It depends on...
Come on now.
Yeah.
You don't call Matt when he's on with Ben the Baptist. Come on. Go ahead, sorry.
Yeah. It's funny. It was actually Peter Reddock. I don't know what's going on. He probably doesn't even know we're live, but he's a good guy, too. I recommend his films.
Yep.
Well, in fact, you and him worked on Censored, right?
Yes, I helped aid in that project.
We loved that film. That was great. But anyways, to answer your question, the best thing to do is to use the Bible. Now, a lot of people will say, well, how can you say use the Bible? Well, here's the thing. You have to ask them, and this could really apply universally to any situation. Just ask them, do you believe in truth? And a lot of atheists will say, no, there is no truth. And you ask them, is that true? Because if it's true that there's no truth, how can the statement be true that there is no truth? How could that
right,
be true
exactly.
in and of itself? So, you know, you get them to understand that they don't have a leg to stand on. You know, I was in a debate one time and the atheist said, there are no absolute statements. I said, are you absolutely sure? He goes, yes, absolutely. You know, you got to get them to realize. And, you know, I think afterwards he realized and he didn't like that. But here's the thing, like, if your worldview is inconsistent, you should make it consistent. And so if truth is a real thing, which it is, then we have to rely on that and search for it. Now, here's the thing. I always tell people that if the Bible is true, which it is, it has to be its own authority. And so if the Bible's authority was dependent upon my reasoning to give it authority, then my reasoning would end up being the final authority because they'd be believing the Bible based off of my reasoning.
Excellent.
But if the Bible is true, which it is, it has to be its own authority. And they say, well, that's a circular argument because you're saying that the reason the Word of God is the Word of God is because the Bible says it's the Word of God. So you got a circular argument on your hands. And I always tell them, I don't care what shape the argument is. I don't care if it's a circular argument. The Bible has power. Never a man spake like this man. And so the Bible is true because of the power contained therein. And, you know, the Bible says that when the apostles were speaking the words with boldness, that the Pharisees concluded that they had been with Jesus and they had communed with Jesus. And here's the thing, you will realize when you open the Word of God and just simply believe it by faith, that your life will change. And here's the thing, you know, and I'm not a lordship salvationist, but your outlook on the Bible will change if you just simply believe. Now, I cannot prove that the Bible is true using my authority, because I'm not the authority. The Bible has to prove itself, because truth always proves itself. Now, one of the things I do want to say, though, is that I can prove a 6,000-year-old Earth, and I can prove a global flood, and I can prove, without a shadow of any doubt, that dinosaurs live with man. And so I always tell people that, and those are good things to tell your family, is that you can prove those things, but when it comes to the Bible, that's something you have to accept by faith, and you're either going to put your faith in the man who thought his world was a fantasy land, or the man who said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
Exactly.
So it's a matter of faith. And atheists will say, well, we don't have beliefs. The definition of atheism is the belief that there is no God. So when they say, we don't have a belief, that's inconsistent with what the dictionary says about them. They can make up all the definitions of what they think atheism is all day long, but at the end of the day, the dictionary definition stands and what's written in the Bible stands. And the reason the Bible is the Word of God is because of the power contained therein. So use the Bible.
Right. So the biggest thing to avoid would be not using the Bible and allowing atheists to goad you into not using the Word of God by claiming, well, that would be a circular argument. I really like what you said there about how if our reasoning of the scriptures would be our final authority, then I guess that would mean that our reasoning would trump the Word of God, and the Word of God wouldn't then be the perfect authority that we would appeal to determine truth. And that's a pretty good talking point there, because oftentimes when you show somebody a clear as day scripture, because the unsaved cannot distinguish between the clear scripture and the verses or the passages that are a little bit more mysterious, right? Because there are certain doctrines a little bit more mysterious. You know, who are the two witnesses?
Right.
Is a big example of that.
Sure.
Or even Mystery Babylon. I have my theory on Mystery Babylon. Can I tell you with like 100% surety that I'm right? No, right? It's a theory. Mystery Babylon is a little bit... But then when it comes to salvation or other things, you know, the Bible is so clear. Okay, and since the unsaved cannot understand spiritual things, the Bible says the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, they can't make a delineation between the two. And so what they'll do is they'll hide behind this argument that says, well, that's your interpretation. Well, hold on a minute. I'm not appealing to my reasoning. I'm appealing to what the words clearly say. And if you're denying what the words clearly say, for example, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie, if you think God can lie, when the Bible clearly says he can't, you're denying reality. And if you start denying reality, you've now entered the realm of being someone who's totally unreasonable.
right. The Bible says all men have not faith, and that there are wicked and unreasonable men who have not faith. And so the people who don't have faith in Jesus, the Bible says they're wicked and they're unreasonable. And they say, well, Christians don't believe in reason. Yeah, we do. The Bible says, let us come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. And so we can lay out the facts all day that atheists don't believe in science. And that's another thing that I would bring up with an atheist family member is just say, hey, look, I want you to understand that you can be an atheist but not believe in science. That's okay. But they'll always say, well, we believe in science. We believe in reason. It's the stereotype of 2020 that if you're an atheist, you must just be a genius. But here's the thing. Atheists don't believe in science, logic, reason, the Bible, none of it. They don't believe, and they try to defend the defenseless.
It's a very good way to put it. The Bible didn't lie what it said, that they are fools. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Here's the final topic of the live stream. You have a documentary you're working on. You already touched on it here earlier when you mentioned that the sermon you preached would appear in the documentary, but it's also going to be covering evolution and creation and totally dismantling again the atheistic worldview. Could you give people a small preview of what they can expect in this second documentary covering this topic? And by the way, Matt, you could make 50 documentaries on this topic for all I care. I think it's an important enough subject that if this is something you keep doing, you have, at the very least, you have my support, okay? I'll tell you that. But give us a little preview. What can we expect?
Thanks, brother. So I would say that the number one thing that you can expect is nothing but facts. And we are just going to lay out the facts straightforward.
What a concept.
And honestly, right. That's something that's kind of unheard of in the atheist community. You know, they talk about theories and ideas and hypotheses. Look, we can bypass all of that with the facts. And the fact, the truth is that life cannot come from non-life. The truth is laws of science can't create themselves, and matter and energy can't create themselves. The truth is that things are tending towards disorder, and the truth is that we have order right now, and so something would have had to design order. These are facts. These are undeniable truths that no one can get around. And so in the documentary, there's going to be a lot of truth about, like, the dinosaurs and, you know, man walking together with them. We have scientific proof of that. There's no question. We're going to demonstrate that the flood is a fact. We're going to demonstrate that the Earth is young. And a lot of times, you know, people will say, well, how can you believe that there's a young Earth when the Bible says that it's as in the days of old or whatever? The atheists always say that. Well, here's the thing. It is a long time. 6,000 years is pretty old, you know. But when you enter into the billions and trillions realm, that's when you're saying, or millions and billions. You know, they always pull out the big numbers to sound like a magician, you know. And you've got a magic trick going on the other side. And, you know, people don't always see it because numbers are impressive to people. But here's the thing, you know, and back just to get back on track here, you know, in the documentary, there's going to be a lot of focus on different YouTube atheists as well, you know, and we're going out on the street, we're interviewing them, and I've asked several of them on the street, hey, what's magical? Somebody creating the universe, matter and energy creating itself from nothing. Which of the two? And they always say it's magical to think that matter and energy could create itself, yet that's what they believe. And they always get a smirk on their face whenever they answer that question because they know that, oh my goodness, I believe in magic. That's their worldview. And I want to demonstrate in this documentary that they are the ones who believe in primitive superstition. They're the ones who believe in magical and unhistorical, unreliable fiction. And we're the ones that believe in factual, testable data that we've discovered and the words of Christ as well. And this Jesus whom we preach unto you is Christ. And that's the message that we're going to be bringing forth is just nothing but facts and truth. And, you know, they'll say, well, how can you think that dinosaurs lived with man when we know that dinosaurs died out 65 million years ago? Well, we found dinosaur soft tissue in 1990 that had blood in it with the hemoglobin still in the blood.
Right. Yeah.
Are you going to say that lasted for 65 million years? How about the whales on the top of mountains? How'd they get there? You know, evolutionists say, well, they were pushed up through millions of years of plate tectonic shifts. Well, here's the thing. When a whale dies, it floats to the surface because it's made of fat. It's 35% fat. And so the birds and the other creatures will eat it, and there's mainly cartilage, and it just decays. There's nothing left. But how is it then that there's a whole whale, the whole whales all over the United States and Michigan, where I'm from, well, you know, fully preserved, buried rapidly? It demonstrates that there was a global flood. And so the flood is a fact. All of this stuff is scientific fact, and we'll bring it forth, folks. We'll make it simple for you. We're going to put the cookies on the bottom shelf, and at the same time, we want to take and refute arguments from famous atheists like Richard Dawkins and Aaron Ra.
Well, I really look forward to it. There are plenty of different truths articulated in the Word of God that can be corroborated by those facts you're talking about, and it's going to do a world of good for people to watch this documentary, even if they already are saved, just to strengthen not only their faith, but also strengthen their ability to confront people on these things. And so they have the ability to give an answer to anybody who is challenging them, but also to help them in their personal lives if they're dealing with a friend or a family member that they really want to get saved, and that person has been deceived by the atheist talking points. You know, this type of content is very helpful for them. I want to show people the YouTube channel here as we wind down. It's Matt Powell Official. Make sure you hit the subscribe button so you can check out some of his content. He's got great stuff on this topic of defeating the atheists and also evolution, creation, things of that nature. You can check out some of his preaching, his documentaries. You see him making the atheists look retarded, which is not that hard to do. But there you go, folks. Hit the subscribe button. You see it on your screen now if you're watching on video. Peter James said in the chat room, he made an interesting point. If you deny the Bible, you are the one responsible for defending yourself. The burden of proof is completely on you, considering that everyone in the world knows that the Bible is infallibly true and the Word of God that eviscerates all other religious texts. I like that kind of language. Eviscerates all other religious texts. This is why I want to be friends with people who are unapologetic about what they believe and who are willing to use that sort of language. Eviscerates, destroys, because that's exactly what the Bible does. It destroys any other false religious text, makes it look like a toddler wrote it in comparison. I love the Bible. I love God. And it's that simple. Matt, thanks for coming on, sir. We're right at the top of the hour. I think I promised you 1 hour, and I'm going to deliver on that promise and not keep you over. Is there anything else you want to say before I wrap it up and I let you go?
I just want to say it was a great discussion, very beneficial discussion, especially for the viewers. And folks, make sure you share this video with your friends and family that are atheistic. Because here's the thing, atheism is the fastest growing religion in the world. And people will say, well, what do you mean it's a religion? Well, the First Church of Atheism, which is the real thing, is putting churches everywhere. Atheist churches are consistently popping up. And in their statement of faith that they've written, which it's an actual thing, folks, look it up. The First Church of Atheism has a statement of faith that says, we have faith in science and nature, and so, and in animals. So, you know, the Bible says that there are people that worshiped and served the creature more than the creator. And so that defines these people that put their faith in animals. And, you know, whenever I am out on the street talking to these people, a lot of times they get very arrogant and they get very puffed up. But the Bible says that we're supposed to, you know, maintain a humble spirit and that we're supposed to speak the truth with boldness. And, you know, my advice to people is try not to use ad hominem attacks. Now, there are places where you should use an ad hominem attack. I've done it several times. If you're speaking of a heretic, you know, if you're speaking of somebody that is denying salvation by faith alone, call that person out personally. You know, it's okay to place a personal attack on that person. But when it comes to this type of topic, it is important to really know the facts and demonstrate the facts. And the Bible says that words fitly spoken are what we need. And so that's all I've got, brother. And I just want to say thanks again for having me on. This has been a great discussion.
I was muted there for a sec. I think it's going to be beneficial, like you talked about, for people if they have individuals in their social circle that they're trying to show them the truth, to check out your channel and also live streams just like this so they can get, you know, the truth raw, okay, and not with any sort of sugarcoating or anything like that, because we don't hold back. All right, Matt, I hope you enjoy the rest of your evening. I look forward to having you on again sometime soon. God bless you, my friend.
God bless.
All right, so that's Brother Matt Powell over there in the great state of Arizona, a member of Faithful Word Baptist Church. Folks, did you notice just how horrible he was? Did you notice how hateful he was? He's so hateful. He's a monster, everybody. We need to have him arrested and put on the terror list immediately. No, I'm sure you didn't, because he's a normal guy. He's very smart. He's intelligent. And I enjoy having him on the program, because this is obviously an area that he's done a lot of research in, a lot of study in. And you heard what he said. Hey, let's make sure that we don't fall into the logical fallacies that they would use on us, the ad hominem attacks. You know what? Look, when you're in a discussion and you're trying to win people over, it's best to stick to the facts. It's best to stick to logic and truth and common sense, and ultimately that will win people over. I said it already here on the live stream. You're not going to convert these God-hating atheists. Aaron Raw, godless engineer, whatever his name is. He's done some videos attacking me. I don't even know who he is. I don't care. And some of these other folks as well who've attacked Matt Powell, you're never going to win them over. They hate God. Okay, the Bible says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And then it lists certain attributes of these sort of people, and they're haters. Okay, they hate the Lord. They don't want anything to do with the Lord. So you're not going to win them over. But the individual watching the discussion, tuning into the live stream, perhaps on the fence, maybe not sure what he or she believes, that's the person that could potentially be affected in a positive manner and maybe even get saved. And that's why I think he does what he does. So make sure you check out his channel, Matt Powell Official, over on YouTube. And that's going to do it for this live stream. I'll be back again next week. Guzman1611 will be on the program. Another personality who's taking it to the atheist community and doing a good job at that. So I look forward to having him on for the first time next Monday at 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Until then, this is Ben Naim signing off. God bless you all. I really appreciate your support. Thanks for tuning in the chat room. I'll talk to you guys again after a while.